Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Please be seated. Christians sometimes think that the work of evangelism is left entirely to them. Yes, God obviously did the work of creation. It was He who made us and all things, all that we see, those things that we don't see. That was God's work. And God certainly did the work of redemption, as we just confessed in the Nicene Creed, as we just wonderfully sang in the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. It was Jesus who came to fulfill the Father's will, to shed His precious blood for us and for our salvation. It is by His work alone that we are redeemed from sin, death, and the devil. Yes. But, again, many Christians think, God did that. Now it's up to us to lead people to believe it. It's our work to go forth and to share this gospel. And to be sure, there's a grain of truth to that. It was our Lord Jesus who sent His apostles following His resurrection to go and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that He commanded. But to think that the work of evangelism is entirely and only up to us leads people to think that we have to then embellish the gospel. We have to make it more appealing to outsiders. We have to craft it and package it in such a way that it will be the most readily acceptable message possible. And underlying that thought is then the assumption that people simply need to be convinced of the truth of the gospel in order to believe it. The assumption that people can, of themselves, of their own abilities, accept the word of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We really cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ as Lord or come to Him. Because of the corruption of original sin, which has corrupted all of us, every single one of us, we do not readily accept the truth of the Word of God. We cannot simply be convinced in our minds of the reality of the gospel. By nature, we all have a false understanding of God and of His Word, of the things of God and the things of His Word, things like sin and righteousness and judgment. And so, in the end, if it is solely our responsibility to spread the gospel, if it's solely up to us to convince people to believe in Jesus, no one would believe it. Not even us. But today we hear that it is not left to us to convert sinners to faith. For our Lord Jesus Christ has sent the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He is the one who guides into all the truth, for He is the one who takes what belongs to Christ and declares it to us. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, says the Scriptures, and it is the Spirit who comes in order to convict the world, convict us, concerning the truth of God and His Word, concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. First, Jesus says the Holy Spirit convicts concerning sin. Again, according to a natural way of thinking, there are a lot of convictions about sin already. The world has a lot of ideas about sin. Everything from it's a weakness, a natural sickness or disposition of the human body. People will claim that they are not responsible for their sins, for their evil, because they were born that way. They're predisposed to act in this manner. They can't be held responsible for something that is natural to them. Some people think that sin is simply the result of injustice, that the environmental or cultural conditions led a person to sin, because they were born in poverty or part of a marginalized community. or because it's something innate within their culture. Many people think that sin should be counted on a sliding scale. Some sins are far worse than others. And how often it seems that second table of the law, sins against our neighbor, are counted as worse than sins against God in the first table, which are often forgotten or overlooked. Or maybe the most common assumption about sin is that it's something that you yourself can overcome. With diligence, with intention, with practice, you can overcome your sins. But Jesus tells us the proper conviction concerning sin is this: the Spirit convicts concerning sin because they do not believe in me. That is, the Spirit comes through the law of God, proclaiming that all that we think, desire, wish, speak, and do is by nature sin, deserving of death and hell. But notice that Jesus here doesn't say that the Spirit convicts concerning sins in the plural, but sin, singular. That is to say, while the law of God certainly condemns our sins, the root of sins is sin, original sin, that sinful condition that corrupts us. Jesus says again about the Spirit who convicts concerning sin because the world does not believe in him. The Bible says elsewhere, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin, which means that all of the works done in unbelief are corrupted and deserving of damnation. Even those works that appear to be good and right in the world's eyes. Or as the Catechism teaches, every violation of the commandments 2 through 10 are in the end a violation of the first commandment. That's why every explanation of those last 9 commandments begins with a brief summary of the first. We should fear and love God so that our sins reflect our faith or lack thereof. Failure to keep the Sabbath day makes a god out of whatever else you do instead. Failure to honor your father and mother makes yourself a god, the supreme authority. Committing adultery makes a god out of lust. Stealing makes a god out of money. False testimony makes a god out of your own thoughts and words, and so on and so forth. Sins, in the plural, testify to one's natural inclination to unbelief. And so the work of the Spirit, to begin with, is to convict the world concerning sin, that we do not by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Spirit goes on. Secondly, he convicts the world concerning righteousness. Again, the world has a lot of convictions concerning righteousness. What does it mean to be righteous? Well, simply it means to be a good person, at least to do more good things than bad things, to be better than the average person, or at least better than the worst. Or perhaps to be righteous means to follow your truth with conviction, with sincerity, to be dedicated to your belief, whatever that might be. As long as it works for you and you follow its tenets, sure, you're righteous. It means to have good intentions, perhaps. To be righteous means to try your best, to want to do good. But again, Jesus tells us that the Spirit convicts rightly. He convicts concerning righteousness because Jesus goes to the Father, and they would see him no longer. The righteousness of which the Spirit convicts is not our own, because that righteousness does not avail in the eyes of God, because again, we are sinners. But rather, the Spirit convicts of the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness is seen in going to the Father. That is, his life, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. All that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished testifies to his righteousness. All that he did in perfect righteousness. He alone was perfectly spotless and clean before God and himself. And all that he did in perfect righteousness, he did for your sake. It is his righteousness that avails for you, by which you are able to stand before God the Father. Because of the righteousness of Jesus, the righteousness of which the Spirit convicts, when the Father looks upon you, he does not see your sins, not a single one, whether they be great or small, many or few, even those sins which are public knowledge that everyone seems to know about. Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, they are covered in his blood. And so when the Father looks upon you, he sees only the righteousness of Christ, which has gone before him. Again, this righteousness alone, not your own works, which are tainted by sin, not your own faith, which is God's work, not your own, not your own sanctification, which is incomplete in this life, is your righteousness. But rather the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness proclaimed in the gospel, the righteousness that is not earned by your works, but received as a free gift by faith and faith alone. In faith, all sins, no matter how great or shameful they may be, all sins are covered up and forgiven. For God desires not the death of the sinner, but rather that they turn from their wicked ways and live. All sins have been paid by the blood of Jesus, he who alone is perfectly righteous. Sin which proceeds from unbelief is forgiven, and that forgiveness is received by faith and faith alone. Judgment is silence. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so finally, the Holy Spirit convicts concerning judgment. Once more, the world has a lot of ideas about judgment. Most don't think about it at all, at least not for themselves. They think of judgment for those bad people, those people who are obviously manifest sinners, the terrorists, the abortionists, child molesters, the worst of the worst. They deserve judgment, but not me. Many others in the world try to ignore the matter of judgment, though their conscience still accuses them. But the Spirit convicts concerning judgment and truth. Jesus says, it's because the ruler of this world is judged. These words may sound threatening, but in fact they are meant to give us the greatest and highest comfort. For through the work of Jesus, his righteous life, death, and resurrection, Satan is conquered. The accuser, the devil he has rejected, he is himself condemned to hell. Through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit convicts of this truth, that if one believes in Jesus and trusts in him, sharing in his righteousness, he need not fear any judgment, accusation, hell, or condemnation. For there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who shall bring any charge against God, God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. The ruler of this world, Satan, is judged, for Christ Jesus fulfilled the law for you. He paid the penalty of your sins, the wages of those sins, which is death. His righteousness avails for you before God the Father. And judgment for you shall be the day of redemption, victory, and triumph, the day of revelation of freedom and glory in Christ. All this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts concerning sin, that is unbelief, concerning righteousness, that is the righteousness of Christ for you, and judgment, that is the everlasting judgment for the devil. Of ourselves, of our own reason or strength, we would neither believe this nor convince others of it. But Jesus has sent the Spirit to do this work of conviction. In our epistle lesson this morning, James writes, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. When James writes every, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of course, he really means every. Not only the work of our creation, not only the work of our redemption, but also the work of our conversion comes from God. It was by his will and his will alone that we have been brought forth. It is done through the word of truth and the word of truth alone. It is the implanted word which alone is able to save our souls. And therefore, let us hold fast to that word of truth, through which the Helper, the Holy Spirit, convicts. Let us hold fast to it for ourselves, continually reading and hearing and being convicted of the truth as the Spirit works, but also for others. As we as Christians bear witness in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord, we trust that the Holy Spirit is the one who works when and where it pleases him. He is the one who convicts. He is the one who converts. He is the one who brings from death to life. Therefore, to God alone be the glory, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has created us and yet more wonderfully redeemed us, who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us, who alone keeps us steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.